B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
On the line with us right now, Mr. Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We are great. The All-Star break's over. Sixers back in action tonight. 8 o'clock tip-off against the Nets in South Philly. We couldn't be happier about that. Mark, it feels like it's been months since the Sixers played.
Man, it feels like eternity, especially with that extra-long All-Star break that the players get now, which is good. But for us fans who really want to watch it, it feels like eternity.
It really has been nuts, man. Now, here's the thing. As we have talked about before, the Sixers have a little bit more reason, and Sixers fans have more reason to be optimistic than they did than a couple of weeks ago before the trade deadline, because not only are you just waiting for Ben and Joe to look better on the court together or Al Horford figure it out in this starting five, you've revamped it a little bit here. It looks like Glenn Robinson III will be your number three in this lineup. Al Horford will come off the bench. There seems to be a lot more cause for optimism because you have shuffled the deck again, so to speak, and added two guys that should be bringing some good stuff off the bench in Burks and Robinson.
Absolutely. Burks and Robinson, man, these guys are people say, oh, we need shooters. These guys are really good. These guys are not just average shooters, but they're a little bit above average shooters. But you bring people that can, Glenn Robinson III, which is ironic to me saying that when I played with his dad. But I mean, you're really old. But, you know, he brings another athletic body that has length, that can guard as well as score, and you don't have to worry about calling his number. He's going to find a way to get in and create for himself. And then, you know, with that being said, that pushes Al Horford to the bench. Now, people saying, oh, but we paid him so much. Just forget how much we paid him. Al Horford coming off the bench and backing up Joel and playing some minutes with Joel, but not a ton, means that this team is more mobile and it solidifies their bench.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst, how do you think a guy like Al Horford responds to this? Is it just a matter of if the team has success, I got to grin and bear it, or is he a guy that's going to fight to try to get back in the starting five?
For the overall best of this team, he needs to come off the bench. And if he doesn't like it, you can say, well, listen, buddy, you know, we outpaid. We pretty much gave you more than any other team. The reason why he's here with the Sixers, that's called how it is. We paid him more than anybody else.
Yeah.
So his contract stays the same. So whether you're starting, whether you're coming off the bench, you're playing 40 minutes or 4 minutes, you're still getting every cent of your money. So with that being said, we need this for the team. You have to take and bear this, buddy. He's like, you know, now that you put it that way, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So is it a matter of finding that motivation for him, or do you think he's going to take this almost begrudgingly?
You know what? And to be honest, that can go either way. Because I could see him taking it kind of begrudgingly. Like, he came from starter. He was on a playoff, a championship contending team last year, the Boston of the year before. You know, it's important to see it from that point of view. But at his age, he's pretty much, he's making double per year what another player of his caliber at his age will be making. So, I mean, we have to, okay, dude, we overpaid you. We overpaid you for several reasons. Why? Because it was hard for us to beat Boston because you're the only player that can guard Ben and Joel. But then we got you because in the playoffs, we also know you can guard Giannis. Mm-hmm. So we got to look at it that way. And he's got to say, look, you know what? I'm good. I'm fine with that. Because this is pretty much his last big contract. Because when his contract's old, he's going to be 36 years old.
Yeah.
So he's not signing another major deal. So I'm quite sure Al Horford's a consummate professional. I hear so much about him. He might not like his role coming off the bench, but he's still going to be playing 24 minutes a game to me. So for him, that's great. He's getting paid $1 million per minute. He'll be all right with that.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Mark, you've heard Brett break down how he does seasons, and he breaks it down in thirds, and we're in the final third here now. My thought was that his message to the team could be this, and see if this translates to you also. 27 games left in the season. Treat it like you have a college season left. Go out and be one of the top three or four teams in the country, in the NBA. Go out in these 27 games. You're going to be favored at home in all 14 of them and favored on most of the games on the road because it's not that tough a schedule. Set a mark for this team. Look, go out and go 24-3, 24-3, 22-5, something like that. Is that realistic that he could go to a team and approach it that way?
Yes, you could. You could, because that's how most coaches look at it. Like when I played for the late Flip Saunders will look at seasons in eights. Everything he would do was based on an eight-game schedule. So he would look at his season and go every game in eights, and he would make adjustments accordingly to that. So Coach Brett Brown looks at his thirds, that it's the end. This team now with these additions, and let's not forget about Alec Burks. Alec Burks is a very good player. So I don't know if he'd be able to show his full repertoire of his skill, but he is not. He is a, I would say he's an extreme upgrade of Trey Burke, but someone that can also get other people involved. So he's not going to come in looking for a shot, but he has the ability to score and create his own basket, and he can shoot. So let's not forget about the addition of him. And I'm telling you, this team can go on an 8-10 game winning streak right now and move to drastically improve their positioning for the playoffs.
We're all hoping that's the case. Speaking with Mark Jackson, as far as Ben and Joel go, I almost think that the forced narrative that has come out from a national perspective of these two either not liking each other, not getting along, whatever it might be, I almost feel like that has already started to aid the both of them actually showing their love for one another.
Absolutely. Did you notice right before the break, people were really starting to put that out there?
Yeah.
And then you seen them excessively showing handshakes, hugs, good job. They weren't doing that prior to those rumors coming out. Think about it. You go back and watch their last two games before the All-Star break, they was excessively showing support for each other, which means that narrative got back to them, and they was trying to show face to everybody, like, look, let's make sure we go out and show everybody we good, man, we good. You know, that, to me, I seen it plain as day.
Yeah, is it possible that, like, I don't know if some people might lose that in translation with showing face. Like, I don't think they're putting on for the cameras. I almost get the sense that they have always been all right with each other. It's just a matter of almost laughing at the narrative that's come out.
No, I don't. I think they got a good relationship. They're two different people.
Okay.
So because they're two different people, you know, they show their thing in different ways. But I will say this. I will say they've come out to show the people. Not saying they're doing it to make sure people see it, but they're drastically showing it more. That's an easy way to look at it. That's a fact. They're really showing their fondness for each other more than they were in previous games and previous weeks and months. So, but they're two different people. They got two different lifestyles. You know what I mean? But when it comes on the court, they need to show that bond, because them showing that bond to each other also shows it to their teammates. And with that being said, it gets teammates to buy in more.
Mark, besides Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who's the most important player on this team for the final 27 games of the season and then going into the playoffs?
I'm telling you, to me, is Josh Richardson. I'm telling you, to me, Josh Richardson is very under the radar, but so important for this team because of the player he is. He's another player that can score the ball. Now, I can say Tobias, but I really think Tobias is going to be an up and down player for the rest of his season and for the seasons to come. But Tobias will always meet his average. Tobias going in the season averages 20 points a game. But Josh Richardson is someone that a lot of people are unfamiliar with how he plays, his role with stuff. Josh Richardson is another scorer. But the thing that's impressive about Josh Richardson is another playmaker. He's an outstanding defender. He's like Jimmy Butler, not on that caliber, but if he gives you some Jimmy Butler-type performances throughout the year. Look out for Josh Richardson.
All right, speaking with Martin, how do you like the Sixers tonight against the Nets? Is it an easy win for them tonight?
I don't believe, until they could get on the street, no win is easy for them. You know, but I do see them getting a win tonight.
What can they do on the road to improve on that record? 9-19 on the road starting the second half of this, or, you know, the final 27 games of the season. What can they do on the road that would, I don't know, increase their chances of actually winning?
they got to buy into each other. Like I've been saying all year, and I'm going to continue to say, road victories are better and come easier for teams that are bought into each other and what their goal is and how their role is defined. Once you do that as a team, your performance as a team will step up. I think a big reason why they've been so horrendous on the road is because guys been in and out the lineup with injuries or for whatever reason. Guys are not completely sold on the team or buying into Brett Brown. I really believe that's a big issue to do with their lack of success on the road. A lot of teams that win on the road are the teams that are have chemistry early.
All right, Mark, the important question, and I don't want to get too personal here, my friend. I know you have young sons. Have you ever taken their cell phones away?
Hey, man, that's a very important question to me because I'm going to take example. My sons are 13, just turned 12, and 9.
Oof.
My 13-year-old got his phone and on his 13th birthday. My 12-year-old got a phone because he started walking to school. But he only has that phone when they walk into school, when they come back to school. Once he has that, it's locked up, it's in the drawer. My 9-year-old went through an incident. We was at an event, and I let him go to go play with his friends, and he came back sad. I said, why are you sad? He was like, because all my friends were playing games against each other on their cell phone.
Oof.
Can I get a cell phone? I said, no, you can't. And you don't need one, you're not getting one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Now, when I say that, I said that once again. I was at an event with a very good friend of mine that we all know. And he put it out there. He's like, yo, y'all need to talk to Mark. Mark don't allow kids to have cell phones. I was like, what do you mean? You want the kids keeping on time? I said, man, my kids don't got to keep up with your kids. Who the hell are you? I said, my kids don't need no cell phone. What, they walking down the street by themselves?
Right.
I said, no, man, my kids don't need cell. That's just how I view it. So that's why my kids' cell phone arrangements are how it is. And that's just my view. And that sparked up a lot of controversy. That's what it is.
Well, there was a 36-year-old woman in Ohio whose parents canceled her cell phone plan, and she called 911, I guess using somebody else's phone because hers was dead, obviously.
Exactly.
So that sounds like good sound advice for anyone with kids around the same age as your young men. So that's not bad. So 13 and 12, you said?
13, 12, and 9.
9, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So that's some good advice for people right there. Mark Jackson, always great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.